Now entering Nerdist.com.
Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
This is what I sound like when I talk. Does that sound good?
Me. It's me.
Is that how we're going to start?
Yes.
Laurie Kilmartin, it's me.
Hi.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation.
I'm Laurie Kilmartin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm missing putting my son to bed for this shit, so I'm sure it'll be worth it.
That's it, folks. Send us your love. Blast us with positive energy, you guys.
Oh.
I was going to do a couple of sets tonight, so.
Really?
Yeah. But
that's a sacrifice because we're doing two podcasts tonight.
Right, we're doing two back to back because
we're both
I'm going to New York.
I am too.
You're going.
I'm going
the day after.
I refuse to land until you leave. That's my policy. The plane will hover in midair if there's any.
Can you
delay.
Just get me a set on Tuesday night when I get there, and then I have a set on Wednesday.
Let me think of who I know.
Yeah, and then I leave on Thursday to go to the new club Jokers.
Yeah,
in Indianapolis.
Oh,
which because there's also
did it
a convention.
Used to be Morty's? Is it
no Morty's? I think is still there. Okay. This is a third
club in Indianapolis. Third,
right, it's so necessary.
Yeah, comedy will definitely sustain all three clubs.
Right, I was just trying to go during Gen Con, which is a board game convention that Andy Ashcraft wants to go to.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And so I was hoping to save a shekel, but Crackers, she said that the one time that they did it, we didn't make any money. She didn't make any money. And I was like, well, it seemed
the one time you did what? A week there?
A week there when it was the week of Gen Con.
Oh.
And I was like, well, you have to book somebody.
Yeah.
And
right.
So she was like, no. And then this other guy at Jokers, this guy was like, hey, there's something called a PopCon, which is a pop culture convention. Do you want to do a live Dork Forest and the Dork Forest and do stand up at Jokers that week? They'll put you up.
The club owner put this all together?
The club owner.
The new club owner
got me a thing at the pop culture convention where I had to do a live Dork Forest podcast and then I get to do stand up at night.
That's great. That's
the
dream.
It's going to be super fun.
That's it.
It is the dream.
Wow.
So I'm going to do that. And then I'm going on two dates with Maria. Somewhere.
Fun.
Kansas City or Kansas in Kansas.
Yeah.
Or in Missouri or somewhere.
Somewhere where people are being oppressed.
Yeah. Someone should go to possibly MariaBamford.com and check it out. And then I will not get my watch in their face.
Oh my God. What happened?
Remember with the watch?
Yeah, I think so. As soon as we do this podcast, I dump it from my brain. It immediately leaves.
I was sitting next to
people refer to things that are being said a week later. I'm like, What? I don't know what was going on.
I had breakfast with Laura House today, and she said, hey, could you turn your watch around? Because it's blinding me at breakfast. And I'm like, you're hilarious and a dick.
I wasn't sure if that was a watch reference.
Yeah, it was a watch reference.
On the podcast.
Okay, I'm going to do it. I'm going to dive into this. Okay. How was Bridgetown?
Okay. Bridgetown is awesome.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Super fun.
And
right?
I had lots of fun. First of all, I was on a bunch of like weird shows or not comedy shows.
Right. So, themed.
Right. So then I said, hey, can I get on some stand up shows too? You know? And then after the second stand up show, I'm like, I don't want to do stand up anymore. I think it's
you
the
do
same
theme?
Audience at all three. You know?
Oh, right.
Because it seems to be like one roving group of audience that's going to every single show.
Or and everyone in Portland looks alike.
Possibly.
Which is what happened to me.
They look white.
Super white, bearded, a little scruffy.
Yes.
And, like
and those
all...
are the ladies. And now, folks, come on. I'm a comic. I'm a hack. Come on.
Come on. They all have tall bikes and they all do taxidermy.
Yes.
But other than that, they, because I had the same problem, but they were different people. But they might be the, I don't know.
I couldn't
Portland
tell.
Isn't that big.
By the second show, I told myself they were all the same people
kinda,
and they hated me.
Oh, and so you were in your head.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I spent a lot of time there no matter what.
It's a shitty neighborhood. Get out of it.
But they were fun shows.
Good.
The first show I did was Setlist.
Oh,
which,
sweet.
Of course, and it's in the Doug Fir. The Doug Fir is this venue that's
downstairs.
Right next to, yeah, downstairs in this really cool restaurant. But it yeah. sounds horrible, but it's awesome.
It's awesome.
Every show I've done there has been great and like yeah. profound. You know, you feel like your molecules move or something.
You've done something right.
Yes, 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 yes. Connection with the audience is like, is intense. And so.
Did you end up staying at the Doug Fir or the Courtyard?
Oh, I was at the Jupiter, which is. Right next to the Doug Fir.
That's all right. Cool
my
kid.
Door opened.
You were a cool kid.
Yeah,
yeah. You were in a motel.
I guess the other option was a former hostel where no one had their own bathroom. You kind of had a bathroom at the end of the hall. So
oh no,
I had,
yeah.
There's no
so
complaints
you were,
about
no
me.
Complaints about that.
So do set list, and I guess last week we kind of, or one of the weeks we talked about how you can cheat on set list is
oh,
by
yeah,
doing
yeah.
your act, and
yeah.
some people do it.
Right.
So, of course, somebody, on our set list, somebody went into Chunks.
Uh-oh.
Right? And
nope.
It's first of all, it's just lack of confidence in yourself, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's all it shows.
What set list is people, the audience is watching you think, and they're watching your brain.
And that's what they like.
They're trying to see how your brain comes up with comedy.
Yes.
You know, and they're, you know, do you go to dick jokes immediately? That's going to show.
Right.
You know, do you try a different way first? That's going to show. It all shows. Your methodology shows up on set lists. So,
yeah.
So you are open, you know,
yeah.
and all your tricks, they don't work.
No.
You know, and so your truly funny part comes out.
Right.
And, you know, I think there's comics that are, they're funny, but they don't. You know, and I understand not thinking you're funny and just panicking, but you shouldn't do that.
Don't do it. You're cutting yourself. You're hurting yourself.
And it's like it's a pact with the other comics. Like, we're all going out there naked.
Yeah.
And somebody goes out wearing their Tonight Show outfit. Fuck you, man. You know, because I don't know if the audience can tell. You know,
right?
The audience might be like, well, that guy was great. And she was and she had that moment where it didn't work
right.
and stuff. And, you
yeah.
know, like you don't know what the audience knows. But a comic who had listened to the podcast and noted that said that she saw that the person that did Chunks go up later at a regular stand-up set
and
do the
that
Chunks
set. Yes.
that he had just written previously at
right.
set list.
Such BS. And the thing about set list, that my favorite thing about set list is that everyone who does set list, which is where Troy or Paul or whoever comes mm-hmm. up with the different words that
yeah.
then you have to do a bit on, they do the kind. You do the kind of comedy you're going to do. If you are a one-liner person, you do one-liners.
Emo Phillips' set lists are amazing. The
They're
guy
amazing.
Thinks in jokes.
He thinks in sentences that are jokes.
Yeah, he thinks
and that
in
is
jokes.
It.
Yeah.
It's so great. And then, but if you, like Rick Overton, it's going to be about legalizing weed. Greg Proops, it's going to be about politics and about probably some weed. But, I mean, the thing is I'm going to mention my dad. I am so sorry. That's going to happen. There's nothing. I'm going to go to my family. I'm going to talk about my.
Yeah.
And so it's
you
fascinating
do
to watch.
You lean back on who you are.
Oh, completely.
But you don't lean back on material you've already written about it.
Exactly. You should be advertising for Setlist because you just came up with, like, the audience gets to watch your mind
yeah.
work. That mm-hmm. That's a great thing. Troy. Start writing this stuff down. I know you're listening.
All right. So set list is fun.
Yeah.
And I, you know, you like when you do well, you're like, oh, thank God.
Yes.
Because I had done it the last time I've been to, was at Bridgetown, which was 2 years ago. I did it and it was in the afternoon. It was definitely like a C minus D plus. Like I didn't like the phrases that came up, I'm like, I don't like this one. So I was just like crotchety.
Yeah. Yeah. You were fighting the.
Yes. I was fighting it.
Yeah.
Okay. And so then I had a show at the Boston Nova Barbara Holmes. Do you know Barbara
yeah.
Holmes?
Yeah, I know Barbara Holmes.
So funny.
Yes.
Okay, so she has this show every Monday night in Portland, and she did a special version of it on Monday night. And
excellent.
So there's a bunch of really funny people on it. And it
straight
was
stand-up
fun.
Or theme?
It was straight stand-up.
Awesome.
And then there was a review of the show.
The review of that show, the Barbara Holmes show?
Yes. Yes. There's a review. Now, you've had reviews at festivals, right?
That last review I had, the guy called me a hack.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Austin,
Texas, that guy can blow himself.
Yes. So this is in the Portland Mercury,
mm-hmm.
which is, I believe
the
that's
regular,
a real newspaper,
that's
right?
That's the regular newspaper.
That's their newspaper.
Yeah.
So it seems like newspapers now are hiring bloggers to do some kind of hybrid review, but it's really but they're not professional reviewers, so it gets really personal.
And yeah.
You see the pronoun I all the time in these reviews, which...
That's not how you write a review.
No, it's
go
not
back
really
in time.
Not
how you have the internet. Go look at old-timey reviews and learn how to write reviews.
So let's look at this review. I printed it out.
Wow.
And I brought a tape measure to measure the lengths of the paragraphs.
She brought a tape measure, you
okay,
guys.
Okay, so we have the first paragraph. Paragraph one is a little over 2 inches. It looks to be like 10 sentences. And it kind of lists everybody in the venue.
Mm-hmm.
Aperna's on it. Aperna and Charla. Guy Branum. Who else? Dan Telfer was there. Emma Whelan.
It was a great show.
It was a great show. This really funny Emma Gale, Ella Gale from Austin, really, really funny. And everyone had a different voice. And
oh, that's neat.
Yeah. There's no way between the whole show, one of us didn't punch your comedy pleasure button.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Somebody entertained somebody.
Yes.
In that room.
Okay. So the first paragraph's kind of like, yay, it's here. Love. And Barbara Holm is great. Mm-hmm. You know, she's really cool. And then the second paragraph is, hold on right here.
Let me get the tape measure out again.
The tape measure. Paragraph two. It's about this. It's a little under 2 inches.
Okay.
It's a little bit about Aperna and Barbara, and here we go. And then here's second paragraph is like 3 1/4 inches, and we've got Ella and Dan and Guy Branum and Aperna in paragraph two.
Mm-hmm.
No, sorry, that's paragraph three.
That's paragraph three.
Now we get to...
And anyone following at home? We're good. We're good.
Okay.
We got it.
So now we get to paragraph four.
Fourth paragraph.
Which
out of how many?
Under an inch long.
Under
an inch high. It's 3 sentences. Can I read the first one?
Yes.
Other highlights.
Always, semicolon.
What?
Colon.
Semicolon. Always good to see Lori Kilmartin, period. End of my review.
What did they use more superlatives for the 6 other comics they talked about above?
Yes, they all got adjectives.
They got adjectives?
Yes, I'm sure they've had some poorly placed adverbs. I'm like this old bathrobe you haven't worn in a long time, but you're glad to be home. Oh, always good. She's still alive. Always good to see Lori Kilmartin. She's still breathing, that old cow. And then also stuck in paragraph four.
Yes.
And the 3-sentence paragraph is Emma Willems' amazing facial expressions. Well, if that isn't a helpful review, I don't know what is.
That's the
no
worst.
Breakdown of a joke. And Rhea Butcher, who they actually, they she printed
she
one
got a
joke.
Word?
She got a joke.
Oh, she got a
yes.
quote.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
I wonder, we should find out from Rhea Butcher if whoever wrote this misquoted the joke.
I don't think so. We all had a meeting.
Oh, fair.
all of us ladies in paragraph four had a meeting.
Do you have a gathering of like-minded individuals?
Yeah, we did. It was...
Right.
And then paragraph five, which is also almost 3 inches, is devoted almost entirely to another venue that the reviewer hated.
Whoa.
So it's not like, oh, we ran out of room. Let's just, I only have 6 words left for Lori Kilmartin. It's like, no, I have to trash a venue that I didn't like because it was too hot and too dark for a giant paragraph. Putting my tape measure away. This is how the greats do it, by the way. This is how Carlin lived his life, measuring the paragraphs he was in.
You almost got Aristotle laughing out loud and falling out of his chair. Well played. Well played.
Thank you. Why don't we tell the reviewer?
Yes.
Can we tell the reviewer?
Let me tell you something. I have a theory about these bad reviews. It's almost like we've gotten to a point in our career where they're like, well, we can't ignore them.
No.
We have to acknowledge that they're still trying.
And I don't know. And only, you know, I got the least amount. Now, Emma didn't get much. She got a little bit. Rhea got a little bit. But I almost feel like comedy is, the comedy audience is so young now that, you know, they want to see themselves on stage, which I totally understand.
Everyone
I want to see myself as president. That's why I'm fucking excited about Hillary Clinton. I get wanting to see someone you identify with on many levels on stage talking about a life that you understand.
Right.
And when I get up on stage, and maybe when you get up on stage, and what we talk about isn't what a 25-year-old woman in Portland is going to understand or care about, or, you know, if she doesn't want to get married or ever have kids or anything, it's like, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know either, but I will tell you, that guy You're a delight.
That was a female.
Oh, it was a woman?
I think she meant well. Like, she, that, how? Your dude was an asshole.
And yeah,
I think
was
she
a jerk, yeah.
meant well, but yeah. it was still not proper.
Just it wasn't done well.
Yes.
She meant well, but it wasn't done well.
Yep.
So are you sympathetic but not supportive?
I guess so.
All right.
No, but that, I am no, but that makes me sound good.
Yeah, it does. You sound pretty good for
I'm
it.
Angry and petty, but no one wants that.
Yeah. I had in-town sets this week. This
yeah.
is I went up at the Ice House.
How'd that go?
It was a 20-minute set. And I tried to get – I was trying to get this 20 minutes for what I'm working on.
Yeah.
So I worked on it. I started it with the food chunk, the stuff about sort of body image stuff.
Yeah.
And I get off stage, and I'm a friend of mine has come with me to the show. It doesn't go very well.
Why do you bring friends to your shows? This is
third
week in a row. Some rogue friend of yours is gone and probably giving you a terrible note after your set.
I got a terrible note after my set.
Good God.
And the thing is, she used to do stand-up, and she should still do stand-up. And she actually admitted to me, because she immediately was like, oh, you didn't actually ask for advice. And I said, you are correct. And she, her advice wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
But it was, first of all, the way she put it was a little hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I sense that those are dumb words. She said, you know, people felt sorry for me during that joke. And then people were worried for my well-being. And I was like, okay, we can stop talking about my act right now for a minute. Just so that
because that's what she felt.
That's what she felt.
She felt sorry for you and she was worried for your well-being.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that was what was happening. But later she said that she was like, you know, I think I wanted to give you advice because I wanted to know that I still had it. You know, I still had the chops to see that. And you know what? She wasn't wrong about the order, because I'm having mm-hmm. trouble with that, with the order of that joke.
Right.
So she wasn't wrong about the order, right? But it was wrong how she said it.
Yeah.
But I thought it was fascinating that because she used to do stand up and she'll do stand up again, I believe. But she stopped doing it because she has a couple of kids and her husband has a nice job. And so she was like, I'm going to look at these kids for 11 hours a day.
Look at me having no compassion right now.
Nope. And, but so they have.
I can't even blink.
You are little basilisk looking. Anyway, what it is.
What is that, a science fiction? Is that a Hamilton word?
It's a Harry Potter. Oh. That's the snake in second Harry Potter. You'll get to it. The boy will want you to.
I know.
It'll all come together. But anyway, what my favorite part, because she knew immediately. I don't know why I told that story, but I go up to Jan, the guy who books the Ice House, and I go, huh, that was something. And he goes, you're really funny. And which I thought was really, really nice.
Yeah.
But he also knew that that was not a great set because he goes, you're really funny. But we both knew that the rest of that sentence was, that was just all right, that set. And because what I had to do in that, in like three quarters of the way through the set, I had to bail and go to the vault.
Yeah.
Because I wanted them to have a good time.
Yeah. 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 It's, you know, a lot of people don't have that obligation.
Right.
I've seen a lot of comics not have that ethic.
The other weird thing that happened this week, I did a set and I was sitting in the green room. Different club, and with a very strong comic who is very funny and very strong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say her name because she was a jackass. She's
okay.
Nice to me, but the waitress came in to ask if we wanted anything, and she began to sexually harass that waitress.
Oh, really?
A very butch lesbian comic.
Okay.
And so she was like, look at that ass. Look at how shiny that is. Look at those shiny pants and that ass. Shake that ass. And the waitress is looking at her like, the fuck is going on?
Oh.
This is a woman.
Yeah.
And so she walks out and I said, hey, I'm not going to sit next to you if you're going to sexually harass the waitstaff. And she goes, that's my thing. That's what this very butch woman
said. Jackie, you got to have a hook in this biz.
Hey,
she's the lady that sexually harasses ladies.
I was like, all you need is a penis and then you're that guy you hate. What are you doing? And she was like, it's funny. They think it's funny. I was like, no, that woman's at work. Leave that woman alone.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we're all at work. We're all at work. Is this how you would, if you had a job in an office, would that be what? Yes, probably that is how she would be. And I was just, because she's so funny and she's
she
nice.
Became a comic so she could be this way. How dare you take that from her?
Right. That's what Bill Cosby said. I became a, and I'm, yes, am I comparing her to Bill Cosby? A little bit, because it's not okay. It's just, don't be a dick. Why would you want to? But speaking, then my only other story is that I never recognize anybody. So I worked with a comic on Thursday. Yeah. And I saw him at the Improv on Saturday.
Oh, God.
And he's famous. Or he's very well known and he's fucking hilarious. But here's how I can recognize. I can recognize your face. I can recognize your name. Or I can recognize your act.
Yeah.
So he was like, Jackie, it's John Daly. And I was like, John Daly, you are adorable and I love you. And then I saw him on stage and I was like, oh, fuck, John Daly. Because John Daly off stage, super nice, funny guy. On stage, fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
so
he's great.
Those two guys are two different people in my mind until I had to put them together. And so Saturday, I was like, oh, I haven't seen you in a long time. And he goes, Thursday, Jackie. Just saw you on Thursday. We were just right here.
Okay. So I have three different incidents that were on this week. So in Portland, after one of the after parties, I'm walking through Portland. It's like 2 a.m. I'm walking with a couple other, Bill Dwyer, a couple other comics are headed back. Laura Keitlinger, I think, was with us. Anyway, so...
I want to see that show.
I just run into a guy. A guy runs into me and hugs me. And I'm like...
Rando dude?
Yeah.
Oh.
But I assume it was a comic. Mm-hmm, I'm like, where do we work together? And then then he just moves on to Emily Galati. And it's clear he's just a drunk guy.
Hugging women. Or just people.
And
did he hug Bill Dwyer?
No, just me and Emily. But you know what? He was clean.
Okay.
And well-built.
And it wasn't a creepy hug. It was just a, hey, yay.
He just seemed like a drunk frat boy, but not...
like a puppy.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And I didn't mind the hug.
Nope.
That was sexist because he was attractive.
Right.
I thought it was
so
nice.
There's your sexism.
Yes.
Rearing, it's not that as ugly a head.
So then I'm at the lab last night and Improv Lab and, I'm going down the bar. You go down the bar and hug, you know, hi, hug. Then I just hug a guy. He's like, hi, and he introduced himself. I'm like, oh, sorry. I thought I knew you. Maybe because I have big boobs, I feel like I can save face by giving a full frontal hug in case I fuck up your name. Like, look, I'm sorry I don't remember you, but here, you could squeeze these.
All right. That is using your powers to defray. I may do that since I clearly have no memory. And I'm like, did anybody want
to? But you got a rack.
I have a rack.
You
so
know
I
what?
Guess if you guys want a hug, if you're looking for a hug
and
from
then, a couple months ago, I was doing two shows in LA and they're close. They're like maybe on a Monday and a Wednesday, right?
Nice.
Yeah. So, so they're kind of close to each other in my head. And I wasn't paying attention to the woman on stage, but I heard a joke and I'm like, oh, that's really funny. And I was making out a set list. Then I work with somebody on the next two nights later and I hear that bit and I'm like, oh, fuck. Someone took that lady's bit.
Yeah.
So, I go back to the show list from Monday night and I figure out who it was and I send her a note and then I realized, oh, she was also on the Wednesday show.
Oh my God, you're never alone. That's what that story is for me. I thank you so much because I am not alone. That's why we started this podcast in my mind is so that I know that I'm not alone.
You're the only one I can talk to like this. I feel like the younger comics, they're not bitter enough yet. They don't get it. They're getting there. Some of them are getting there and they're going to be crotchety and fun to hang out with in like 10 years, but they're still like hopeful and, you know, it's I was around a lot of hope last week.
Were you around a lot of hope over the weekend?
Yes, a lot.
Did you see some?
A lot. And then comics my age are sort of suppressing their bitterness, which I also find to be backstabbing. And I take it personally. Like, I know you're like me. I know you feel sometimes lost and adrift. Okay, so stop acting like everything's great. Fucking bugs me. Okay.
Wow.
And then.
All right, then.
So that's Thursday night.
That was Thursday. What happened Friday?
So Friday I had one.
So that was the first night. You get the review on the first damn night.
Yeah.
All Friday.
Friday
while
you're
doing spinning.
Oh, I'm furious all day Friday. Yeah. Oh, Friday went and hung out with my sister who lives in Portland and my nieces and stuff. That was nice. They have a they live
do they
in
have
a place.
Chickens?
They don't have chickens, but they have bats.
Oh my God.
There's bats,
but they're not their bats. They're not pet bats.
No.
No.
That doesn't even sound legal.
No, I don't know that it is, but Portland's a weird place.
So she, yeah, it's just nice to be around green stuff. I live in
In a desert.
We live in a desert, and it's just droughty and cactus and agave all over the place. It's ugly here. I hate it.
No, yeah. I like it. Whatever.
Yeah, okay.
It's fine. But it was nice to be around the green.
Yeah. And then, so I have a late show at this place called The Bunk.
The Bunk. I've been to The Bunk.
That was fun. Sure, it was a fun show.
It's a long bar and then it's a box, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was fun. Jay Larson was there and Morgan Murphy was there. It's
fun
to see some really funny people.
Morgan Murphy and Laura Keitlinger were there?
Yes.
They're age appropriate.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm sure neither of them would appreciate
nobody wants that dropping. Nobody wants that dropping.
We're the only ones
that are willing to go, guess what? We're 107. And but still funny. Huh? Who doesn't want to laugh?
Aristotle. Okay. So
silently. He's polite.
So Oh, so Saturday's like a full day. So there's a writer's panel. At the
that you're doing.
Yeah.
And you're a writer.
Yes. Hold on.
You write.
Here's the panel. I haven't memorized it in my head. Ian Carmel.
Nice.
Who writes on Corden, James Corden.
Right.
Rick Overton, who wrote on Dennis Miller.
Got it.
Dan Telfer, who's on At Midnight. He directs like their social media.
Right.
At Midnight. Me. Morgan Murphy, she's on a half hour right now, but she's done Fallon and Kimmel and Two Broke Girls,
all of it.
Yeah, she's like all over the place. The moderator, Matt Koff, who's a Daily Show with Trevor Noah.
Okay.
Sarah Schaefer of Sarah and Nikki.
Yeah.
And now she's working on Nikki's show at on Comedy Central.
Right.
Guy Branum.
It's a huge panel.
Guy Branum, Laura Keitlinger. And maybe there's somebody. Oh, there might be Aparna and Eliza Skinner.
Okay.
Aparna was on Seth right. Meyers. And Eliza Skinner is also working on Corden. I think that's everybody. But
no Emily Heller?
No, she wasn't there.
She wasn't at the fest.
Basically,
is that enough? Was that everybody?
Yeah, we all got to talk. And it was about...
How long was it?
It was like an hour and a half.
Oh, it should have been two.
You know, it's cool. It was more than half women on the panel.
Yeah, that is really neat.
And... because of that, we didn't get any of those questions about what's it like to be a female writer.
Sweet.
Because it would have just seemed ridiculous. Like, who are you going to ask? 80% of the panel?
Yeah,
you
nice.
Know? It was pretty cool.
Did anybody ask Guy what it was like to be gay?
No.
And be a writer and get a job as a gay man?
No, but I think he'd tell you.
He would totally tell you.
He'd let you know. You
he'd
could
let
ask
you know.
Him.
Well, because I was trying to think, people of color, you know, you're just like, what's it like being all brown and writing and stuff?
It's an exhausting question.
It's the dumbest question.
Yeah.
And if people could wrap it up, that'd
and
be
then,
great.
And then later that night, so then I have another one of my kooky shows, which is called Joke Thieves.
Oh, Joke Thieves.
Yes.
You did Joke Thieves with Matt Kirshen.
Yes.
I had breakfast with Matt Kirshen as well today. But I forgot to ask about it.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was terrifying. More terrifying than set list.
It is more terrifying. Who did you do it with?
Okay, so the show is four comics. We each do 5 or 6 minutes, and we're paired with one of the other comics.
Yeah.
And then the second half of the show, you do their act, and they do your act.
Right.
Okay,
you do their 5 minutes, and they do your 5 minutes.
Yeah, so I went up first. I was paired with Parna.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
That's all right.
So I go up first, and then Emma goes up, and then Aparna, and then Eddie.
Now,
Pepitone. Second half of the show, my act goes first, done by Aparna.
Yeah.
Emma's act goes next, done by Eddie. And then Aparna's act goes next, done by me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eddie's act goes last, done by Emma.
I want to see that. Was that recorded?
I doubt it.
Oh, Christ.
Maybe it was.
Did you learn anything? Was it amazing?
It was interesting.
Was it fascinating?
It was terrifying. Okay, so I didn't know how do I do Aparna Nancherla?
Right.
Like, am I doing her voice and then I'm just kind of making fun? Like, I don't want to do that.
No.
But then a couple times I did speak in a higher voice because she has a higher voice. And
right.
I'm like, oh, that just sounds like I'm making fun of her. But before that, so when I'm doing my set, in my head, I was like...
Did you pick jokes for Aparna?
Kind of. Not really.
Okay.
No. But I did talk to a woman, and she answered me in kind of a funny way.
Excellent.
Of course. But so.
So you did tiniest amount of crowd work during your set.
Hold on. No, no, no. You're assuming something good happened.
Oh, shit.
So she answered. The way she said something was funny. And I was like, oh, she's trying to be funny. So I go in a little bit. The next thing she answers, it's clear she has a speech impediment.
Oops.
Yeah. And
this is one of those classic road stories where someone.
Yes.
Yeah.
So now, like, do I say anything like I apologize or anything, like anything I say, Aparna has to also say in 20 minutes. And this woman, well, it's enough. It's bad enough that I'm doing it. Then I got to make somebody else do it too. So I just sort of, it was like kind of like this weird. And then afterwards, Matt said, oh, she's a huge comedy fan. She's fine. No, no problem.
She gets it.
Yeah.
And, but, she was,
and that's why she answered
row.
The question. Yes, exactly. Yes. But yeah, I was like, oh. And so then, of course, I'm, you know, for a whole minute, I'm going over this while I'm telling jokes. You know, my mouth is moving and my brain is like, oh, my God.
Poor Aparna.
So I said some jokes wrong or something. Anyway. So that happened.
That happened. Holy hell.
Yeah.
What was?
But it was really fun. And then, like, Aparna, I'd always thought of as being very writerly. Mm-hmm. You know, she's a great writer.
Yeah.
But then when I was watching her, she moves around a lot. And I hadn't even realized about her.
Does she kind of pace?
No, it's very slow. She doesn't pace. She does act outs. You
oh,
know,
okay.
Which I guess I hadn't paid attention to before.
I don't think, I just love the writing. I haven't paid attention.
Yeah. So I moved around a little bit, man. I used the stage in an Aparna way. It was kind of fun. I'll never do it again, of course. I like to stand hip jutted out. You know, somebody, God,
like
somebody
with
on Twitter
child
at a,
rearing hair, hips?
Yeah. Somebody, on, I'm going to quote a tweet. I don't know who wrote it about how female comics stand with their hips and their ass out. I'm not even quoting it properly, but
okay.
I liked it. And if the person wrote it can let me know, I'll quote you in 2
Please
weeks
tweet
when
it
we come
us. At AnnieLaurie16, at Jackie Kish.
Don't rope me into this.
You started. So, you were the.
So then.
Yes.
And then I had another show at the Bossa Nova.
Oh, wow.
So, and it was a 10 o'clock show, and I was up last. I was up last on the reviewed show, too.
Which should have been a hint, reviewer lady, that she gets at least a poorly worded adjective or two.
Yeah. And then, so every comic's doing, they're supposed to do 10.
Right.
Minimum, people are doing 12. Someone went like 20.
Mm-hmm,
and I got up really late. And of course, I was in a really pissy mood.
Right, because you had to follow an hour
yes.
of nonsense.
And the room was a million degrees because
so
it was really hot. And they don't have air
Did
conditioning.
Did she mention that?
Fans.
Was it the Bossa Nova that she was mad about?
No. That, no,
she
no,
was
no,
mad
no,
about
no,
a different
no.
place?
Club Trio or something like
okay,
that.
Okay, fair enough.
So that was and the after parties were fun. We had on Friday, there's an after party every night at this warehouse in another part of Portland.
How'd you get there? Just Ubered?
Yeah, Ubered, yeah. And
Lyft?
And I'm not I'm not a party person.
Right. Well.
I didn't go on Thursday, and then Friday's like, oh, what the fuck? And then.
And then
I ended
up staying
till like 3:45 in the morning.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And people were dancing, and the DJ started, he played I Want to Dance with Somebody, Whitney Houston, and everyone was out singing. It was great.
Oh, that
it was a
awesome.
Lot of fun. Do you know who Tone Bell is?
No.
Okay. He's a comic.
Okay.
And
probably.
Don't worry, I'll hug him in front of you, and that'll signal to you it's a comic.
And the thing is, I do remember there's a comic that I've met named Tone.
Yeah.
So how many guys are named Tone? So
just one.
He's got to be the one.
Okay.
Okay. So I probably
dancing,
do know him.
Dancing with him, and I'm not. You know, I'm not a I'm not a good dancer. I'm not a dancer. Okay.
You know what? If you
I
dance,
I think that needs to be stated. I'm not a dancer.
But you had a part.
So I like move my shoulder forward, and he'd go, "Yeah," and then I do it again, and he'd go, "No," and I'm like, "What am I doing wrong?" The second time, it's the same shoulder move. I don't get it.
I've been in that situation where if you repeat it, there's something wrong. I don't know anything about it. We aren't dancers, you guys. I like to dance when no one is watching. That is the way I enjoy dancing.
Others appreciate that as well.
Yes, I cannot tell you how much I'm sure they do. Oh my God. I've taken a singing on Snapchat because no one's watching. Because no one is following me.
I'm not on Snapchat.
I've just started Snapchat, and
what are
it's
you
super fun.
Why is it fun?
It's fun because you could put a mask on your face. You hold it away and
For
you can make
For fuck's sake, you're fucking 50. come on, man.
Or an 11-year-old boy. Here's the thing. I am having the time of my life. And if I ever say I'm a young 50, you have my permission to shoot me dead. All of you, hold me down.
You know what we got to not say on stage is at my age.
Ever.
We gotta not say that. When I saw comics saying that, there's fucking makes you 10 years older.
Yep.
Don't do it.
It's so
hard not to. Especially when you're describing something that's happening because you're at that age. It's fucking hard, but that is real. Bite your tongue. Figure out another way. You're a writer, for fuck's sake. Figure out another way to say it.
Yeah, there's another way to put it. There's an 11-year-old girl who's doing stand-up who just got a big deal with A&E. You'll be happy about this.
I'm walking.
She's a YouTube star, you guys, and her dad was a road comic.
Oh, who is it?
I don't know. But her name is Safi.
Oh, I know Saffron.
Her name's Saffron?
Yes.
Safi is just a short for Saffron?
She's from Dallas.
Okay, but she's from outside Dallas.
Okay, I'm sorry. Plano. I didn't get her GPS coordinates.
I think she's from Plano. She lives over there on Oak Street, you guys, next to the Mullers. I don't know.
Here's why I know her.
Why do you
know her? When Conan, we did shows in Dallas a couple years ago.
Oh, there you go.
And so I just went to an open mic at a dive bar. And who's there?
Of course.
A 10-year-old or a 9-year-old at the time. Doing stand-up.
Yeah.
I don't approve of it. But I really liked her and she was...
No, yeah. I heard that some of the stuff's really funny. And some of it has clearly been written by her dad in 1987. And that's unfortunate. But...
She's got a Donna Rice joke, which is...
I don't even know who the fuck is Donna Rice?
Oh my God, I'm gonna kill myself.
I got a better chance
right
with
That's
Tone.
The woman.
I got a better chance with Tone.
Gary Hart had an affair with Donna Rice. Remember?
Oh, she
Yes.
I remember Gary Hart because he had the greatest WPA plan for kids when they get out of high school to
Wait,
work
that's
for
why
two
you,
years.
I remember like him because he fucked Donna Rice, and you remember him because of his WPA, his work program.
Yeah.
All right.
I remember
that's
his
a big
politics.
Difference between
you
us.
Remember him because of the scandal.
Yes.
I didn't. Somebody told me because I brought up the Gary Hart thing today, and Felicia Michaels, who I also had breakfast with, said to me, well, you know, he lost that because of the sex scandal. And I said, I always forgot why he dropped out of politics. I will always remember why the Wiener guy did, but that's because his name is Wiener.
Yeah.
But Gary Hart, that guy has heart, man.
Oh, my God. That's a Saffron joke.
It's Saffron's
dad's joke.
You're
stealing from an 11-year-old.
I'm stealing. Anyway, but
and
so.
And a 95-year-old, her dad. No.
I don't know.
One time I saw a kid at Flappers just slamming the Kardashians, child, like my son's age.
Right.
And I'm like, you shouldn't know who they are.
Right.
It was just really strange and perverted. And
why are you allowed to watch that?
It's not, you know what? Stand-up and jazz aren't for babies, okay? You have to be a grown-up. You have to understand some complexity and nuance, okay?
Stand-up and jazz. That, I think, might be the name of the show.
You know, and so she's performing... You know, but she doesn't know what she's doing
right,
in a way.
Right, to some extent. And it's not that she isn't a funny
kid. And she
kid.
Can have great comic timing. My son has funny comic timing, but he's not
everyone
a comic.
Everyone is born with comic timing now. Have you noticed the new...
Yes, it's true. Well,
everyone's had a camera pointed at him since birth now.
Also, the cartoons now are super sophisticated, and they've got these really
set
quick
a punch,
cuts.
Set a punch.
Yeah. And crazy callbacks and stuff, and... when it's a switch and you know, I mean, it's
he
weird.
Knows because of timing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fascinating.
Yeah. Smash cuts. I think that's what they're called.
Oh, I forgot to tell you at the Ice House. They always record your set. And so I just
almost never necessary.
Well, I walked up to the, sometimes I take it, but I walked up to the door and I just said through the door, Marco, I don't want to see this. And I walked. And he poked his head out and he laughed. I got a laugh from Marco, the sound guy over at the Ice House, you guys. Pretty proud of it. Gonna take that as a laurel.
Remember last week I was like, I think I'm on the outs with this club.
Yeah.
And then
and then you got work.
I got a little work.
You got a couple of spots.
One, but I only put in for one.
You put in for one?
Yeah.
That's it. You got to put in. Do you ever drive down to Comedy and Magic?
Yeah.
You do, right?
That's what I was talking about.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I sent in avails a couple weeks and I didn't get anything. I'm like, what did I do?
It's over.
Oh, God. I ate too much salmon the last time I was there. They give you the most amazing meals. Right?
Right. They have an amazing, you can get whatever you want.
Yes.
On their very nice menu, and it's good food.
It is good food.
It was one of the first clubs that had decent food.
I mean, my joke about Comedy Magic is you have to work at your set on The Tonight Show first before you do it there. Like, I don't understand how the audience can sniff out a new joke. Like, you can tuck it in anyplace else and they kind of really can't tell. But I think they're so trained and they're so used to seeing bam, bam, like just slamming.
So many doctors, short sets. So many polos, so many haircuts.
And so many headliners on the bill that... they sense a moment of weakness.
Right.
Know? And except I was like, maybe I did too much new stuff on a set.
I have to, you know what? I don't know that I'll have anything left for the next show, but I'm just going to, because here's what happened. So I'm working on this late night set, right?
Yeah.
And I did it, and it worked out to be about 6.5 minutes. It's supposed to be 5:50 or something, 5:30. And they're all new jokes. They're all newish jokes of 3 months or less.
Oh, that's so awesome.
That this woman was like, I like those. What about this joke and that joke? So I was like, oh, okay. So I sent it. My thing is, and this is probably a bad business decision, is I record the set and then I send it to them. Some people like to record two or three of the same set.
Oh, I see.
And then kind of look and see what's the best. But I'm like, well, that's the set. That'll work. And then I was sitting down with Aaron Foley to play Joke Machine. And I was like, can I try this 6-minute set on you? And we can and see how what you think of it.
Does she just write, take notes while you do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so she takes notes. And then she helped me. We must have spent 40 minutes on this set. She fucking fixed it.
Wow.
It was a gorgeous piece of work that she has done. First of all, I had this very new dark joke about Down syndrome that may not belong on late night television.
Yeah.
And
somebody will do it and there'll be a big article. So-and-so broke the
barrier
of Down syndrome.
And mine was 4. Is that...
Yours was what?
4 Down syndrome. So screw those people. And but the thing is, it is I... She pulled out the parts of the new jokes. You know, it genuinely takes me 4 months to tighten up a 6-minute bit into a 2-minute bit. And it's because I don't do this. I don't do what she did.
You're not a compression artist.
Yes. And what she did was she fucking line vetoed the fuck out of all of these jokes.
And so she had a transcript practically?
No, all in her head. You know, she was like, tell me it again. And then, so I do it. And then she was like, what about this part? And then she was like, do that bit a bit again, which was the most patient. I was like, yeah. And so then we picked, you know, the first 3 lines of that joke, the first 3. And then she was like, now you need a bridge. And then you need these 3 lines from that joke. And then don't mention this thing because it ruins continuity. And so... I think it's a great set.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
It was so helpful.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, whether anything ever comes of it, it was a beautiful writing exercise. And then I helped write some fart jokes for her or whatever. I don't know what I did for her, but I tried to do it back. And
that's really cool.
It was pretty great. And that was fun. I'm liking it. I'm also day 9 without coffee. And
Oh my God.
There's no filter. There's no filter left in the talking. There's the talking, and then there's the more talking. I had a headache the other day. I might have tweeted this. I was in the aspirin aisle at Ralph's, the grocery store, and there was a young couple, 19 to 21 years old. Let's go with that, male, female. And they were grinding. He's huge. She's shorter.
In the aspirin aisle?
In the aspirin aisle. By themselves, there was a woman around the corner who was kind of looking at them like this.
Was it late?
Nope.
Oh.
It was 5:36. I had chosen poorly, and it was taking me forever to find the damn aspirin. And they were just like macking out and grinding hardcore. And so they were standing right next to the Excedrin, which I wanted. And so I go, closer. A little bit closer. I've always wanted to direct. And I grabbed the aspirin, and I fucked off. And I was so – there's no filter without coffee. There's no – because I talk super fast when I have coffee. And then, I don't know, maybe I don't say some of the things that are in my head.
I don't have to be here right now?
No.
I can go.
I could just say any random shit that comes into my head.
Ugh. I am – okay. So
how's your mom?
Oh, my God. I'm at work yesterday.
Yep.
So I just turned in my first batch of jokes, right?
Yep.
I have 3 batches usually in a day.
Oh, wow. That's
batch 1 in, about to have lunch. I get a call. My mom is, her hip popped out of its socket. again, fourth time since December.
Is she doing, what is she doing, yoga?
She's putting a sock on.
Oh, shit. That shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I walk home.
Oh, right, because you're walkable.
Yeah, and we call the paramedics, and 10 of the most attractive men I've seen in since I was hugged in Portland.
10 come of into the my 12 house. Calendar firemen show up.
They're in my house. They're so close to my bed.
Flash
and where
mob?
Do they go? To my mom's room.
Flash
classic.
Mob. I want them to just start dancing.
Oh, my God. So anyway, mom goes, yeah, they pop. They push it back in. They jam
they
it
just
back
do it.
In. Yes. I mean, no, that she's there for a couple hours. She's under anesthesia and stuff like that.
Okay. So, but they did it locally at the house. They didn't have to take her.
No. She went to the hospital.
Oh my God. Yeah. I was like, that's amazing.
So after the show started taping, I get a call. I'm ready. Come pick me up.
Okay. Oh, right. Because she's junked up.
No, that's how she talks.
Oh shit.
So I go pick her up and now, okay. So she might have to have another surgery. And,
is this her original hip?
No, this is a replacement.
Okay.
And, I can't tell you. There's like a legal thing with the hip replacement.
Okay.
That if she needs to get another one, she has to get it done within 2 weeks.
Of today?
Yeah.
Or yesterday?
Yeah.
Chop, chop?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a separate nightmare that I probably should not talk about. Okay. But so I come home today and now she's completely immobilized. She's just laying watching Netflix.
Because she's got it.
She's afraid her hip's going to pop out.
Oh, right.
Which I know. Okay. Everyone's having sympathy.
Yeah.
Guess what? My laundry wasn't done. The dishwasher wasn't emptied. You know what? That's why I let her move in here, is she's going to take on some of these mundane chores.
Right.
That I don't have the time and can't bear to do. I was sitting there folding my fucking jeans
like
tonight.
Like some sort of animal.
Like an animal. That's not the deal.
Right. Right. She's going to have to learn to use her toes.
Oh, those toes? Oh, my God.
You get to see them too
They're
much.
Horrific.
Right.
The toenails. It's
right.
All of my workouts I don't want that to happen to me. I want my toes to be able to move still.
Right.
I don't want.
There's trouble.
Bunion has come out, so it looks like another toe.
Okay.
You know?
I saw X-Men Apocalypse. Did it look kind of like Nightcrawler?
Yes,
what was
probably.
Happening?
Yes. Oh, and her hair, I mean, she's, 79, so her hair is going to be thinning. But that's also made me go, you know what? My hair's going to be thinning one day.
That's right.
I'm going to fucking make it big, like,
are you gonna make
like
it poofy?
June Carter Cash
just
for as long
poof.
As I can. I'm letting
tease
it grow.
The fuck out of it.
I blonde it every month. I'm going back on Saturday.
Oh,
it's, yeah?
Yeah,
it's all a,
right.
Big expense, but you know what? I'm going out with big hair.
Go out with big hair. It's we have so little.
We do have so little.
It's true. You gotta if you have a some people spend thousands of dollars on their pets. I get a massage as often as I possibly can
because
I need someone to work on my Asperger's hump, which is what I call
your Asperger's hump. Why do you call it
Asperger's? Because I get a shooting pain in my shoulder when I am in a social situation that I am not enjoying.
Really?
So I call it my Asperger's hump.
That's interesting.
Do you think
you're holding yourself in a weird way?
I must be, right? I mean, that's exactly what it must be. But Andy will sometimes come up behind me and go, Asperger's hump acting up? Because clearly I'm twisted myself.
Oh, he knows how to talk you up. That is some sexy love talk.
Do not touch me. No, I don't. It's a weird shooting pain I get. And whenever it happens, if I'm enough in the moment, I will go, oh, what are you pissed off about? What are you not getting in this social situation that you want? Either I want
That's
more attention.
That's a really good way to be able to disassociate.
Right, to try to end. And if I can figure out what I'm not getting, like if I'm not getting enough attention, it'll actually, the realization will make my shoulder go down a little bit. Or if I... We had a very small gathering. We're going to have a big gathering. Going to invite you. Going to invite people because we don't see each other. And but I thought, let's do it socially. Bring the boy.
Yeah.
And but then what happened was Andy, like the week before, he was like, I want to invite a couple of couples I haven't seen in a million years and make it small so that we can talk to them. And I was like, okay. So he invites two friends of his, two sets of friends of his. And I invite Bamford and Scott.
Uh-huh.
And so... He last minute invites our 78-year-old neighbor. I thought of your mother. I thought of many things, mostly murder, because this woman is not like the 78-year-olds I know, who are fascinating, by the way. Most of the old people I know are hilarious and weird.
What old people do you know?
My Aunt Alice and my dad.
Okay.
And all the people at the church in Milwaukee. Anyway, so I don't know any old people here because they're I don't know where they're being kept, Los Angeles. What are you doing to them?
They're at my house.
That's right.
They're immobilized and not able to do the only thing I asked them to do.
So he invites this woman who was so boring, but she said, here's a hint, folks. Somebody tells you, and Andy was trying to make it interesting. And she was like, so Andy goes, well, Jackie does stand-up comedy to the 78-year-old.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't know any better at the time. I cut him all
Wait,
kinds.
Wait, Andy doesn't know any better at the time?
At the time this that is... she's super boring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He should
never tell that to anybody.
Well, he's trying to get her to stop talking to him about video games.
Oh.
Because he's a video game designer.
Yeah.
And so we are the greatest aunt and uncle you've ever met in your life. And so everybody wants to say, oh, video games. I played Pac-Man in the 1200s and backgammon on my iPad. And so he's like, Jackie's a comic. And I do the same thing to him. Okay. Like when I'm like, he's a video game designer.
So this is your marriage, right?
This
now.
Is our marriage. Okay. Watch it unfold. And so... So she actually says to me the thing that you should never, in my opinion, allow me to alert the masses or the dozen of you. She says, comedy is when you laugh, it just heals so much when you, I'm really funny. People always tell me that I should do stand-up comedy and I'm just hilarious. It's just, you know, I'm just around people though. So I don't know if I could do it. Pause. Well, I'm supposed to say, no, you could probably totally do it. And I do. I do say that because it's in my house.
Go to an open mic.
Yeah. Get out there. Give it a shot. Because the thing is I don't think that you shouldn't give it a shot if you're 78. Knock yourself out. Go. They're only going to give you 3 minutes. Come up with three topics. Go on stage. Say those three topics and get the fuck out of the way. Mm-hmm. And then you will
know. Don't break your hip on the way down.
Try not to break your hip on the way down. It'll be dark. And so you might need a thing. But you'll know immediately whether you want to do stand-up comedy. But she kept saying over and over again how she was so hilarious. And she never asked me about stand-up comedy. She just kept talking about how funny she was and then not saying funny things.
Oh,
it was genuinely maddening.
I don't want us to be like that.
Ever.
Because they don't think they're like that.
No, she does not think she's... And then Andy the next day went to the neighborhood watch meeting where he got to meet our new cop representative.
Mm-hmm.
And he was live texting me. He was like, parking. People are parking in front of other people's houses. Nobody likes it. People aren't putting their garbage cans back fast enough. I don't know if you know this. Garbage cans, you got to put them back within 12 hours.
I love listening to, is it KPCC? Who does the Santa Monica City Council meetings on Friday nights?
Probably KPCK.
They're fascinating.
Yeah.
The little things that people will come to a meeting to talk about with. And you've got like five or six representatives listening to you. I love it. I love civics.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I love that little stuff.
Yeah, so we did that, and then or he did that.
Mm-hmm.
I pretended I had something else to do, so I did not go to the neighborhood meeting. And then he got home, and he was like, "You didn't go do that thing?" And I said, "No, I'm watching Romancing the Stone." And
that's a good movie.
I didn't mind it. Holds up just fine, by the way.
Yeah,
holds up just fine. And then this morning we voted at the crack of dawn. Because Andy likes to get in early.
I did mine absentee.
Oh, good for you.
I voted Bernie to push her left a couple weeks ago. Then I got worried that he was going to actually win.
Right.
But it looks like that's not going to happen.
Right.
We're not.
But yes, what was the worst?
She hasn't clinched yet.
No, she hasn't clinched. But yesterday when the AP called it,
yeah.
I was like, hey, fuckwits. Let's let everybody vote before you start calling
And
it.
Then, yeah, let her take her moment when she's supposed to and not have to spend a night downplaying it. Well, I haven't won it yet. It's like if someone introduces, she's done Letterman. No, I haven't done Letterman. Like, don't introduce me that way. Can you use my actual credit instead of the one I should have gotten?
Note to self. And reeling them in. So.
And then... Then the other thing that's occupied my brain this week is that shithead Brock Turner.
Oh, right. Because you're swimming. You're a swimming people.
I used to be, yeah.
But
I mean, I'm a woman. I'm a woman people.
Right, you're a woman people. So I was freaked out by the thing too, but it was like, yeah, I never understood about swimmers though, because they're always half nude.
Right.
And hairless and hanging out together.
Not hairless in the winter. Here's the thing. We let it grow in the winter.
Okay.
And then there's something called being shaved and tapered. And when.
Tapered.
Yes. I mean, like you're doing really intense yardage in the wintertime through, say, December. Then December through March, you start working on quality stuff, like quality sets instead of yardage.
Okay.
You know,
yardage being distance kind of swimming?
Yeah. Yeah. Distance.
Okay.
And then. March is when you start qualifying for meets, so you want to be rested. You don't want to be doing a lot of yard. That's called tapering, is resting.
Oh, tapering off.
And then
okay.
when you get to tapering down, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then when you get to the meet, the night before the meet, you shave your entire body because you're also shaving off a layer of skin. And when you dive into the water, it feels amazing. You feel
the
faster.
First time
you may not be faster, you may or may not be faster, but you feel amazingly
boost.
Faster. Yeah. You feel like there's nothing on you, nothing holding you back.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that is a glimpse into swimming that I did not know.
Yes.
There we go. But this guy was a horrible person.
Ugh. And the father. And it's like, I know those kind of swimmers where they're really talented, they're really fast. So the whole family organizes their lives around
to drive them around
little Olympian. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's morning practice, it's afternoon practice, it's all this stuff. And you don't go on vacation because, you know, nationals.
You can't interfere with.
Yeah, you can't interfere with any kind of training, you know? And so it's just like, just this gross.
Does he have siblings?
I think he has siblings. Yeah,
ugh.
I don't know.
Because
were you part of the Twitter mob, the uprising on Twitter?
I saw
the Michael Collins like uprising from women on Twitter, just fucking getting this guy.
No,
yeah,
what happened?
Just everyone just started going, fuck this piece of shit, and
right.
or doing funny tweets about it or whatever, you know?
Right, right. I did.
When he's reading his statement, you know, after you read her statement.
Yeah, her statement. Which I think you're.
Astonishing.
Was astonishing. And you were like, because they kept, all the headlines kept saying, it took me, by the way, almost 5 minutes to get that joke you wrote on Twitter, which was because all the headlines said, possible Olympian swimmer or some damn thing.
Yeah.
Convicted of rape.
Yeah.
Amazing swimmer. Swimmer did this. Swimmer do that. And so you came up with astonishing writer.
Oh.
Raped by guy who took swim lessons.
Yeah.
And you're like, yes. So it took a second for me to make that sort of rotation and get the damn joke.
Yeah.
But it was so good because why are they still talking? Why were they? You know, what the hell?
Well, the sentence was reduced dramatically.
Right,
by
just
a
6 months.
Who's like, hey, man.
No,
seems like a good kid. Yeah, so that's
it'd be a severe trial upon him to put him in jail for a long time.
Yeah.
It would severely affect his life.
And it should.
Yeah, it should because he raped somebody.
Yeah.
He's a horrible person.
Yeah. And then. Like maybe that was about to die down, and then they released the father's statement. You know, the father, all these letters to the judge about what a guy this is.
Yeah,
and the father's statement is so bad. It's like comically awful,
douchebaggy. Just the worst.
You're just like, wow, you thought this was gonna help?
Yeah,
20 minutes of action.
That's what he said. He said,
yeah.
"Why should this guy go to jail for so long for 20
yeah.
minutes of action?" And then somebody tweeted, said, "Is there anybody 3 degrees related to this guy who isn't a piece of garbage?"
I know.
Just because it just seems like, and then I guess his mom defended the husband, and then it spiraled out.
And then a friend of his, this is the latest, is tonight on Tuesday.
Oh, really?
A friend of his, they also released her. These letters were written before any sort of backlash or media, this kind of media coverage.
Oh, so they're staggering them?
Yes. I'm certain this
they
dumb.
They got them all.
This friend would have not written this letter had.
We hope.
Had she seen what Twitter was doing to other. But it was, you know, he's not a rapist. Rapist is when you're kidnapped in a parking lot. You know, it was one of the. It's a female.
Oh, wow. Defining and rape in a very specific.
Yeah, yeah. So she's part of a band.
The dumpster makes it.
Called Good English, and the band was canceled from their gig in Brooklyn because of her support. It's like, wow.
Yeah. So here's a little PSA, folks. Don't hurt people. Don't do it physically.
Well, can I tell my jokes? I don't think it's going to last.
Sexual? Yeah. Oh, okay. You got a topical?
Well, kind of. It's just that, like...
Yeah, there's no time. Go. Quick, really do it now. Do it before it's... I think we're getting close to an hour.
Of course, you can't. You, just because you're passed out doesn't mean you give consent for someone to rape you.
Yes.
Of course, when you're passed out, you're definitely giving consent for someone to draw a penis on your face. But that's both genders. And the person drawing has to be your best friend. Okay?
Ladies and gentlemen, Lori Kilmartin, you guys. Guess who deserves adjectives and adverbs and all kinds of sentences?
Yes.
Lori Kilmartin. Because that fucking joke is awesome.
I thought we were going to our comic of the week.
No, no. Oh, hey, let's do our comic of the week.
Who is our
Who
comic?
You just worked with was Rhea Butcher.
Oh, yes, it's Rhea. That's right.
Who is not, by the way.
I didn't know who. I forgot who we're going to do first. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because we're doing it tonight.
And...
very funny.
So funny, Rhea Butcher.
Yes.
And not the lesbian I was talking about at the beginning of the show, by the way.
Oh, but you got to write that name down for me. I got to guess.
I'm sure you do.
I just worked with
Rhea Butcher.
She and
so
I
smart.
Shared a paragraph
so
together.
Right. Well, you know what it means. It means that you guys will be, they'll park your wheelchairs next to each other in your twilight years.
Yeah, she's hilarious, and she's half of a comedy couple. I don't want to define anyone as who
half
their
of a comedy
spouse
couple.
Is
right.
or something, but it's kind of cool, and they have a show together.
Right, put your hands together.
Yes, no. Well, yeah, they have a live show, but they have a show, a scripted show that's coming out on CISO. About their live, I forget what it's called, but she Rhea and I want to say Rhea, but it's Rhea.
Yeah, Rhea Butcher and
Cameron Esposito is her wife, and they have a scripted show about mm-hmm. being themselves, kind of.
And you should find Rhea Butcher because she is
R-H-E-A, and then Butcher like the person
like
that
a butcher.
Slaughters cows.
Right, right, exactly. Chop, chop, meat eaters. Are they meat eaters? I don't know.
I didn't realize that was a prerequisite for being comic of the week.
And there's a dick joke floating around my head from 1990 that nobody wants.
You know what? That's what set list does. You know what? Neither of us, we both could have gone, because they're a lesbian couple, and you threw out meat. They're like, we both could have gone there, and we
chose
didn't.
Not to.
Because we're fucking professionals.
Right, we're
had
professionals.
Had it been a late show Friday, we both would have jumped down it, jumped on a dick and rode it around the room like it was a broomstick. But you know what? We're at Meltdown. We don't have to go there.
We don't have to go there. We're
not
trying,
first
we're
pass.
Affecting change.
It's a second pass joke.
How are we doing? All right.
Okay. That's it for this one.
It was a good one.
Yeah.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.